probably the most well-known passages in the is the 23rd Psalm. This is one that is usually taught to children after the one that they're taught to pray for grace before their meals, in which they say, God is love. You didn't know, did you know that was part of the scripture? Like Pastor, I have several psalms that I love. My favorite is Psalms 1. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law does he meditate day and night. I would go on with the rest of it, but I'm going to stop right there and go to another one that I like. That's Psalm 8. It says, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens, the moon and the stars, that which thou hast ordained? What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. It's a beautiful song if you want to hear it, that Richard Smallwood put music to. All right. When we are looking for help, we often quote Psalm 121. I will look unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And we could go on and on quoting scripture out of Psalms, because we know a lot of them. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord, all ye people. Lift your voices and praise the Lord. There are many that we know out of the Psalms. And one reason why we study the Psalms so well is because David was a man that was after God's own heart. And so what he writes, there were so many of 150 divisions of that, of the Psalms, right? Because he was so prolific in his writing and what he felt in his heart toward God, it's in the book. And it's there for us to read, not only to read, but also to encourage our souls, to let us know that even though David wasn't perfect, God still loved him. And that lets me know that even though Carol wasn't perfect, God still loves her. And so I'm gonna begin reading our scripture, which is where I'm coming from today. And I want you to think about God's twins, goodness and mercy, following you throughout your life. God's twins, goodness and mercy, following you throughout your life. We start with verse 1. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou preparest the table, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We go back to verse 1. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. a Psalm of David where he professes his joyful trust in the Lord as the good shepherd king. As a shepherd who is trustworthy and faithful to care for those in his fold. He is their Jehovah Jireh, their provider. He provides all their needs according to his riches and glory. And we know in glory, there's a lot of riches. I hear people say all the time, you know, if I only, you got everything, because God has everything that you need. He provides their protection, their shelter, their covering. The fact that they are his perpetual care, that they are in his perpetual care, and their safety is in his hands alone. Can you imagine being in the hands of God? God by yourself. We're in his hands because he said in his word that we are etched in the palm of his hand. He writes our name in the palm of his hand. He also said that those that are in my hand, nobody can snatch them out. That means even you can't take yourself out of his hand. Praise God. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Has God ever had to make you lie down and rest? We can attest to that, right, Brother Deacon? Sometimes God will put you in a place where you have to rest. Because we are so silly sometimes. We think we can do everything by ourselves and that we're Superman and Superwoman, and we're not. Even sometimes we think we're God, and we're not. So God has to sometimes make us lay down and rest. He made them to lie down in green pastures. And if you've ever noticed green pastures, that means the grass is nice and tall, and it's also nice and soft, and it's comfortable. You see the cows out there laying down in green in the pasture. Do you see them? We say that it's going to rain when they lay down like that, but they're still resting in the grass. The grass is soft and luscious. When we become so whimsical and try to continue to la-di-da around the kingdom of God, that's what we do. God's working. We think that we're working on our own agenda at that time. And our own agenda causes us to get into areas where our body breaks down. And at that time, God says, listen, you need to take a rest. If we don't listen to him, guess what? He will make you take a rest. It would be good if we did it the first time when he said it. You know, God tells us a lot of things we ignore. And it's for our own good. Because he knows us. In Psalms, I think it's 134, it said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made in his image. He knows every intricate part of our body. He knows exactly how much we can take and what we can't. We don't know that because we're thinking with a little finite mind, and God has infinite wisdom. So sometimes he has to make us take a rest. We often do this because we think that we don't think that God can bless anybody else to do the job. We push God out of the way and say to ourselves, I got this. I can do this like nobody else can. That's what we say. And God look at us and shakes his head and says, oh, my children, my little kid, you don't think that I've made somebody else can do the same work that I've called you to do? So he makes us take a rest. And then so God will lead us beside still waters. There's a song that says, still waters run deep. I looked it up to see if it was scripture. It wasn't. It was a song by the Four Tops. Still waters run deep, but it's still something we should think about. But we know still waters are waters that flow very slowly and calmly. They bring much peace and rest to one's spirit. Our Jesus, our shepherd, is living water. He doesn't just lead us to still water. He is the still water. He is life-giving and thus soul-restoring. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. As Christians, we sometimes, like sheep, go astray and wander about without a clear direction. Like some cars today, they got the GPS. You know, when you get off the track, it pulls you back on, tell you you're going the wrong way. You got to go this way. There's a plane that has a radar system in it that guides the plane over the terrain. It's a terrain follower radar. And if it comes to a mountain, it gets so far from the ground and then it goes up. Well, when they first put it in the planes, you had to turn it on to the terrain follower and take your hands off. And they were losing so many pilots. They were having so many crashes because people didn't understand. All you had to do was not touch it. If you touched it, it went off. And human could not react quickly enough to adjust that plane. So what they started doing, they put curtains in the cockpit so that they couldn't see where they were going. So when they were headed toward that mountain, the terrain follower would go up the mountain like it was supposed to, go down the side like it's supposed to, follow the ground like it's supposed to, any little hill like it was supposed to. God has to do that to us. We have to put a curtain over our eyes and let God lead us. And he'll lead us without us running into something and without us crashing. But we don't trust him enough to allow him to do what he does. Stop looking at stuff, thinking that you're getting ready to run into this mountain when God said, I got you. I got you, and you don't even have to worry about that mountain. I can do it like I did the sea when the children of Israel was crossing the Sea of Galilee. I can open that up, blow on it, make a highway, and they can walk across on dry ground. That's what he can do. I can take that mountain and show you that mountain is not even a mountain. It's a molehill. I am the God of the possible. When it's impossible to you, I can make it possible. So we need to put a blinder over our eyes and realize that a lot of things we come up against, God will allow in our lives just to show you that I'm going to get the glory out of this. You be my vessel. Let me use you to show others what I can do. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they cover me, comfort me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, we used to fear death. That's what some, oh, I don't want to die. I'm like, yes, Lord, take me now. I can be with you. We don't have to fear death any longer because Jesus conquered death and the grave. And when we realize that, when we close our eyes, we're not dying. God's children don't die. They go to sleep. And when you wake up, you're going to be in the arms of the Lord. Isn't that something good to know? When you wake up, when you open your eyes, you behold the Father. be in the arms of the Lord. So he said, knowing Jesus conquered death in the grave, we no longer have to fear the unknown. We know we are protected by God, by the rod that God uses to beat off our enemies, to beat off our troubles, to beat off the wolves that are out there trying to attack us. That's what he uses the rod for, to beat them off so that they don't touch you, to keep you from stumbling, to keep you from falling, to keep you from being eaten up by the wolves. The staff he uses to pull you back. You know, there's a crook in that staff. And when the sheep would fall into, we got some sheep that act like goats. They just don't want to do right. And they would go to the water, and he would lead them beside still water. But he wouldn't take them by rushing water, because rushing water could take them on away. But we had some that, oh, look at that. That looks pretty good. I think I want to try that out. And they fall head first into rushing water, and the water gets to swirling and taking them away. But he takes his staff, and he that crook in it, he pulls them back to safety. A lot of times we do that in our lives. We fall off into rushing water because we're acting like goats. That's when you hear goats crying all the time. They just be crying all the time. And they're loud and noisy and sound horrible, don't they? And that's what we do. We act like goats, and we want to fall off into that rushing water. But he takes us. He takes his staff and pulls us back to safety. Hallelujah. Then he said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. God takes care of our physical needs. He feeds us when we're hungry. And as was the custom of the host back then, when he prepared a banquet for his special guests, he anointed their heads with oil to receive healing. That is why David wrote, his cup runs over continually. Continually, because God's goodness and mercy is continuous. So now we get to surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I call these the twins of God. Because, see, goodness and mercy, shall follow me all the days of my life. Do you know what that word follow means? In Hebrew, it's called radaf. And what it means is chase. So goodness and mercy would not just be following you like a little puppy. Come on. It chases you down, so that you can receive goodness of God, so that you can receive his mercy, so that you can receive his love, his grace, everything that God has for you. Goodness. The goodness of God refers to his inherent kindness, generosity, positive attributes that are expressed in his actions, and provision. He provides for us. He shows us that he loves us. One way he shows us that he loves us is because he gave his only begotten son. He loved us so much that when we were stinking in sin, he had his son to come and die for us. On a cross. On an old rugged cross. You know, everybody got to wear these little crosses. They're shiny and smooth. That wasn't a cross Jesus was on. It wasn't shiny and smooth. It was full of splinters. It was ragged. You know, if you run your hand across something that's wood and it's got a little edge to it that has a splinter, and you get it in your finger, you know how that feels? Jesus was on that. His whole body was on that cross. That's why I don't take it for granted that he died for us. That's the reason why I know within my heart that his death for Carol was one of the greatest acts of love that God could perform. Because Carol was stinking, deep in sin, far from the peace for sure. But God's love lifted me out of that mess. And I thank you, Lord. Mercy refers to God's compassion, his inherent kindness. I'm sorry, God's compassion, his forgiveness and kindness, especially in withholding punishment, a judgment that is deserved. I used to hear the old people say, "Lord, have mercy on me." I didn't know what they were talking about until I realized I needed the mercy of God in my life. Lord, have mercy on me. I even say, "Lord, have mercy on the ones that I love." You know, you see them heading toward danger, and you say, "Lord, have mercy." Because, you know, he's a compassionate God. He's a forgiving God. He's a loving God. He's a saving God. And you just cry for his mercy and his goodness. Lord, not only have mercy on them, Lord, give them your goodness. Show them your goodness. And let them turn to you as the Father that you are. This mercy implies that God's goodness and mercy, this word, radoff, implies that God's goodness and mercy are believers actively pursuing you like a GPS. Get back on the right path. Get back on the right path. I'm going to chase you down until you come back to me. You know? How many of us would do that? We don't even do that for our own kids. Oh, Lord, have mercy. We don't. Oh, they grown. Let them do what they want to do. I done raised them. I done the best I could. Lord knows they on their own. What if God said that about us? Woo, Jesus. What if he said that about it? Let her go on and do what she gonna do. He saw me heading toward hell. He said, "Oh, no, come back, baby. And I'm going to chase you down until you come back to me. I'm not going to let you go out there." Yeah, my kids sitting out there, they're saying, "You really think that, Mama?" No. But think about it. A lot of times we would turn loose anything that's difficult, anything that is contrary to what we think, how we feel, how we act, we just say, "My hands off of that. I'm taking my hands off. God, you got it." And I'm so glad God does have it. Because when we give up, he does. Guiding. He guides us back onto the path of righteousness. Protecting. He protects us when we don't even realize we have become a snack for Satan. Satan's out there trying to gobble up these little lambs that are running faltering. "I'm having so much fun out in the world." So they say, "I got that one." God said, "No, that one belongs to me. You will not snack on that little lamb. Come here, baby." And he brings us back. And he protects us from stuff we don't even know is existing out there. And provide for us. You know, we're in a season now in our country where things are very difficult. Where problems of not loving one another and being our own person. I'm going to do my thing. I don't care about anybody else. But God said, "I'm your provider. So as I provide for you, I'm providing for you to provide for someone else. Yeah, I'm blessing you to bless somebody. And if we don't bless somebody, God's going to say, why are you taking all my blessings and you're not sharing? If you see somebody out there with a need, give what God has given you. Sometimes it's just a little smile. Sometimes it's just a hug. Say, you know what? I love you, and I'm praying for you. And as you're struggling, I'm going to struggle with you. Because God placed us down here to be sisters and brothers and to love one another. That's what God expects of us. He provides for us to provide for others. But you know what? I'm looking around and I see God's people. Everybody dressed in clothes. Everybody's hair is combed. Except for mine. Everybody's looking good. You know? They're looking prosperous. You know why? God did that. God does that. Trump can go as crazy as he wants to. Our congressmen and congresswomen can go as crazy as they want to. God says it will not affect my people. I'm going to provide for them according to my riches and glory. I'm going to provide for them. I'm going to take care of them. They don't have to go around here looking sad and miserable because I have somebody there to take care of their needs. I'm there to take care of their needs. So we thank God for his provision. So I know you've probably heard this text being preached many, many, many times. But it always gets me when we get to the heart of the part where it says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. They'll follow me all the days of my life. I don't have to worry about, is God going to take care of my needs? Is he going to do this? I don't have to worry about that. I know that God will take care of me. I don't have to worry about, oh, gosh, I'm sick. I don't know what to do. Hey, listen, even in sickness, I'm going to give him praise. He's still good. When I'm sick, I say, okay, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the pain. Because there's a lot of people don't even feel pain right now. I said, thank you, Lord, for this illness, because I know it's not just for me. It's for somebody out there that's going through the same thing that I'm going through. And you're going to get the glory. Carol will not get any of it. The doctors won't even get any of it. I believe the report of the Lord. And his report says I'm healed, even if it hadn't manifested yet. His report says I'm healed. His report says I'm filled. And I believe the report of the Lord. And when we can come to the realization that the 23rd Psalms was written for us, and we can say it to ourselves, to encourage ourselves, think about goodness and mercy following us all the days of our lives. And we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, there may be somebody out there that doesn't know about dwelling in the Lord's house forever. And if there is, I'm going to ask that you just bow your heads and we're going to pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you that your word has come forth. I thank you, Lord, that we've seen some things that we had not seen before. I thank you, Lord, that your word is a living word and it meets our needs. And Father God, I thank you that as we bear ourselves, as we make ourselves available to you, Father God, that you will fill us with your with your love and with purpose and everything that you have for us, Father God. I thank you that even before the world was formed, you thought about Carol. I thank you, Lord, that even before the world was formed, you placed in me a purpose. And not just me, but Father God, every one of your children. I thank you, Father God, you're just that awesome. You're just that awesome to save something like this. And I thank you. I give you praise. Thank you for your son, Jesus, that died on the cross. Thank you, Father God, that you fixed it so that we don't have to run around the church or roll in the aisles and climb walls or do anything to be saved. You simply said in your word, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that God raised him from the dead. And you will be saved. Thank you, Father God. It's just that simple. Because with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With his mouth, he confesses salvation. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now that each one of us will come to the realization in our lives that you can be trusted. You are our good shepherd. You are our shepherd king. And Father God, we love you. We thank you. And we give you all the praise, glory, and honor that is due you in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen.